مركز صحابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي ساب, hope you well.
الحمد لله. Yes, everything is fine.
So we'll continue with this topic as we were speaking about that rabbi and his approach, how he called black people monkeys. In South Africa, yeah, also, I will just read out for you. There has been a white person, and she's from the Benoni area of South Africa, for those who know, a 60-year-old woman. Now, 2 years ago, or you could say almost 3 years ago, it was in 2022, she said that when a race, she said, all black people, and she suggested this, yeah, it was a voice note, it went viral on WhatsApp and the rest, and this came out in the Star is one of the South African's main newspaper. So it, she sent out the recording. In the recording, she had made derogatory remarks, comments about black men and women, and it included a suggestion to ban the black men and to even cut out their uteruses. So she faced much backlash, and of course South Africa is totally a country which there's no place for racism, especially now, but you still find this here in communities and certain people who still have those signs of this here. If you see the South African Human Rights Commission, they had condemned her statement totally as hate speech, and she had to make a public apology and a bill of 150,000 for a reconciliation organization. All this had come out because she had made the statement. Also, she had to write out in words and a commitment to refrain from repeating such remarks. So she came out and she apologized and the rest. So that is all good and in place. But we see, and Mufti Saab, of course, I'm not sure what was your experiences when you had, you know, when you are out in that search for different religions. But I always say to the people here in South Africa, the locals, that I raise this question with them. And just to get their minds thinking that when you see in the world today, take all your religions, Judaism, Christianity, the rest, name me one religion which has all the different races, all the different colors, and you can go to almost any part in the world, you will find that there are Muslims there as well. When you look at the history of our Islamic history, which is so rich, and you will find what a big role black people had played, and to the point that Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he was wearing a cloak and his slave was wearing one too. And it was someone had asked, what's the reason for this? So he replied and he said that I had abused a person by calling his mother with bad names. And see, this was Sahaba radiallahu anhu. When they made a mistake, they came out and said, this is way. That's why they're mahfud. And nobody can lay any charges against them. They were straightforward, open. We made this mistake, and this is how we repented, and this is how we came out of it. So it was mentioned there that he made a statement, and he had repented from it. And for that, he said, okay, my slave, I'm going to do this for you. We're going to share clothes. I'll wear the top, you wear the bottom, like this. And that is how he had recovered from this. Yeah. And they didn't mind that, you know, in the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the opportunity is there that this, we did wrong, so we need, before we pass away, we have to be forgiven. So Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then it was because of this, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had reprimanded him and said that this, the state of affairs is like that of the, you have the characteristics of ignorance still in you. And this is then what he said, innaka mru'un fika jahiliya, you still have the traits of jahiliya in you. Ikhwanukum, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned that your brothers this year is, your slaves are your brothers in Islam, and Allah has put them under your command. I was saying in the first portion of our program that often the Orientalists and the Modernists, they will come out and say, but how does Islam allow slavery and the rest? There's so much rules regulating them. But if you look at it in total, Islam permits it. But today, you see, there's no slavery in the world, illa mashallah, here and there, a few places. But if you see the virtues of freeing a slave, and then you saw Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they freed a slave, the slave said, but I want to be, I'm more free under your rulership. This is how Islam has put everything in place and codified it to such an extent you can't even abuse your slave, even though in terminology, in concepts, they are your slave. But the treatment was so good that they felt, I'd rather be under your slavery. So coming back to this, there's no racism, no discrimination. Mufti Saab, I ask you the question that how was your experiences, and then when you came into Islam, what did you feel?
Agreed that there is no racism in Islam, but there's racism in the Muslims, and this is the problem. Okay, I told you before that our expression was Alhamdulillah, we found Islam before we found the Muslims, because if we had found the Muslims, we would never have found Islam. We don't practice. So it's not easy to see the non-racism. I've met some people that, yes, they treated me like brothers, but then I've had other people that haven't treated me like a brother because of the color of my skin. So it's a mixed bag. But I always believe that if we really were like the Sahaba as far as being colorblind, the whole world would be Muslim so easily and so quickly. But it is a big problem. I've told you before that in New York, there's a masjid that had Bengalis and Pakistanis, in the masjid. And every year they would have a fight regarding the election for the committee. So it got so bad that they had to have the elections outside of the masjid because they would fight inside the masjid. And eventually, Bengalis, they left and they started their own masjid on the same block. So the problems that came from the Indian subcontinent made its way to America. America had nothing to do with the problems with Pakistan and Bangladesh. And America had nothing to do with the problems between the Bengalis and the Pakistanis and the American masjids. Okay? But that was clearly, a racial problem. Okay? A tribal problem. And it is there. The Arabs who go to America, they love each other, whether they're from Yemen or Libya or from Saudi. And they open up stores in black neighborhoods, and as black Muslims, we would go there and we wouldn't feel the same warmth, okay, that they feel with each other. Even though the Saudi came from Saudi and the Libyan came from Libya, when they came to America, they became tight, but they didn't necessarily become tight with the blacks who were Muslim, okay? I hear what you're saying, but to be honest, there is no racism in Islam, but the Muslims are racist, and that's a reality. I told my story to people here in Pakistan, okay, that this would never happen in Christianity or in America or in Germany. Okay, I come to Pakistan, a black American, and my roommate is a German. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and although he wasn't a Nazi, he sympathized with the Nazis. So you know how Nazis feel about black people, okay? And I was a student of Malcolm X, and now you know how Malcolm felt about white people. Now we're in the same room together, and we're best of friends, okay? And so after 10 years, I married his sister, also blonde hair, blue eyes. A black man marrying a white woman. Okay, in America, it would never happen, Christianity. All right, unless she's marrying him for his money. Okay, or he's a football player or a baseball player or something like that. He's very famous, so he has to get a white, you know, white wife, and that elevates him in society. But he had two new Muslims from two completely different races in a third country, okay, and living very well together, having, you know, children together and everything, and lots of friends and what have you. So that you will not find in Christianity, okay, unless there's some other motive behind the marriage, okay, a mixed race marriage, okay. So again, it's very little. People are happy about it when they hear what you just said about no racism. People are happy about it, but really, there's a lot of racism in a lot of people. Okay, that are Muslim.
And I'm happy you said that, because I can speak on behalf of South Africa and certain areas as well. We still find these particular traits. It's something we have to deal with. It's not because sometimes we have to address the problems that's within our communities, within our, like, you'll get Mwana Ibrahim Devla, Hafidhullah, he will come and he'll address the brothers of Tabligh. And few occasions I heard I've got his statement also, where he said, we are supposed to be calling to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Sunnah, but then after Maghrib, we need to give time for the brothers as well to read their awabin and the rest. So that we have to call in the way that is fulfilling all the prerequisites for it as well. So we can't be saying, okay, we neglect the Sunnah, but so everything in its place. But so it has a major difference, because if I'm just going to come here and speak about how great we are, then there's no real change, reformation that is ever going to occur, because I'm just speaking to the happiness of everyone. But sometimes happiness is also, Quran Sharif says that, وَأَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَوْ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you dislike something, but it's good for you. And this is all mentioned with regards to jihad and the rest. So it's good for us, but we don't like the command. So similarly, like this in life, many things people will tell us, we don't like it at first, but when we find the solutions to it, and when we acknowledge that this problem does occur, then we can move forward. And like you've said, you are in Pakistan, you have nothing to do with South Africa, you've never been here. But I'm saying, in terms of, you don't know what's happening here in terms of the Indian communities and the rest, but the traits of racism still exist. And sometimes we still have the traits as yet, and we haven't dealt with it. Yes, racism from South Africa has been removed on the national level. But if you come to impersonal issues, I'm speaking to my brother, I'm speaking to my friend, I'm speaking to my colleague, the rest, business mates. What is my actual words that I'm using for people of different race? Do I actually have the qualities and traits of superiority? Because if that still exists, and I'm now criticizing the rogue regime Israel, there seems to be a contradiction in my own statements, because there I'm condemning it. And what's there? As you've said earlier, that the statement that was made, and I've just researched it now and found it, it's all over the internet as well. And this statement has also been, it has been related to other individuals as well. And this year, I'll say Patrick Syring, he was a former US diplomat. He made the same statement as well. The only good Arab is a dead Arab. So this a racist incitement. And you can see amongst our communities, we're still finding this here, people calling names, people thinking that in their minds that they are better. And we just have to ask one question. And the question we have to ask is that I see it in our masjid, Umar Farooq Masjid here in Lanesha, Extension 8. Alhamdulillah, the muadhin, he's from, I think, one of these countries, Malawi. He's black. The way I always tell him, I ask him, what cream do you use for your face? Because your face is always shining. And his quality, his character is amazing, something else. and out of this world. So he is a mu'adhin at the masjid. And slowly we're coming out of this. Previously, a lot of Muslims in South Africa, we had the mindset, if you're a mu'adhin, you're a cleaner. And they didn't understand the hadith and the honor that Allah has given these people. So we came out of that slowly. And I wouldn't say we came out of it totally. But you can see in our masjid, the mu'adhin is there, but he's treated, mashallah, like how a person's supposed to be treated. And in fact, to such a level, we have another uncle there, and he gives the adhan, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, all the rest. He's there giving adhan, and he relieves him from his responsibility. He doesn't earn anything, the uncle who's there. He's quite elderly, quite sickly as well, but consistently is there. And this is the kind of brotherhood that we're supposed to be speaking about everywhere. That brother who is there is a security guard. He's looking after the masjid, and he's a Muslim. But for me, and this is what we learn from Islam, that go and embrace him, hug him with two hands. I know one of our seniors, Mufti A.K. Sap, he tells me that with these kind of people, you go and you embrace them. And the rich people, where they now, everyone's used to standing in a line and greeting them because they, what car they drive. He says, if people come to me like that, I just take out one hand and I greet them. And they feel like offended. But I'm not going to bow down to you because of your money, because there's no space for that in Islam.
Yeah, we have work to do. Al-Hakumura, okay, the truth is bitter. But how many of us are willing to say the truth? That is the thing. Because we don't want to hurt feelings. Also, we're not like Umar, brother. He always spoke the truth, huh? So the truth didn't leave him any friends. Right? This is a discussion with someone. Everybody was afraid of him, but he spoke the truth, even against his own self. So, yeah, alhamdulillah, we have work to do. It's not perfect. But like I said, everywhere, what was written or what was said by the rabbi is believed by the Jews and unbelieved by many different people. That Meir Kahana, that rabbi, he was an American citizen and he was an Israeli citizen. And later he got elected to the Knesset. So they took away his American citizenship. Okay, but in America, he was saying for every Jew, a 22. That's a 22 caliber pistol. Okay, and his other expression was the only good Arab is a dead Arab. Okay, so, but he wasn't vilified. He got elected into the Israeli government. Okay, and he has a party. There's a party named after him that still exists. There's still members of that party that are right now active in the government. And he was, like I said, he was an American. He was a rabbi. Okay, and that's how he felt. He hated black people. He hated Jews. I mean, he hated Arabs, Muslims. So, no big deal. John Wayne. John Wayne was a very famous American actor. Okay, he played a lot of cowboy and Indian movies. Okay, and a lot of movies about Vietnam, being in the army, and he always won. You know, his side always won. When some Indian, American, Native American won an award, okay, and they asked him how he felt about, they asked John Wayne how he felt about the Native Americans. And he said he didn't like them because they wanted to keep this whole country for themselves. How did America become a white country? All right, they stole it from the Indians. From the Native Americans, right? He was, and after he died, they had a postage stamp for him. They have statues for him. Okay? This is the way America felt. Okay? Mm-hmm. Three-fifths of a man? I think that's it. Three-fifths of a man, right? So that for every five black slaves in America, you count the census as three, something like that. It's in the U.S. Constitution to this day. Okay, blacks are like 3/5 of a man in America. But no one talks about that.
Mm.
You see? But what that Jew, that rabbi said, you know, recently is just something that is in their books. It's in the books of Judaism. There was a program in the 70s called The Other Israel, where a reporter, he tricked the Jews. He said, I want to do a story about Judaism, but I don't want to take it from, you know, other sources. I want to take it from your sources.
Mm.
So he was able to go into the Jewish library. He went into the Encyclopedia of Judaism.
Yes.
Okay, and other Jewish encyclopedias. Okay, it was like 2 hours long, 2 or 3 hours long. This, and he took out all the information that was very embarrassing for them.
Hmm.
Like, for example, that it's permissible to have sex with a 3-year-old girl.
Hmm.
Okay, and because the hymen, or you know, the hymen will grow back later on. So if a rabbi has sex with a 3-year-old girl, there's no sin on him.
Hmm.
All right, because she'll be considered a virgin later on. Okay, and other things like this. And things that if a goyim, a non-Jew, is taken to court, okay, he must lose against the Jew. And if the goyim takes the Jew to court, the Jew must win.
Hmm.
Okay? These type of things, all in their books, not Christian books, the Jewish books. Okay, as soon as it was published, they banned him from ever doing anything like that again. They never allowed any other non-Jew to come into their libraries, you know, for their information. Okay, yeah, they got it totally exposed. It's called The Other Israel. It's a video, so maybe there's a transcript of it now, because it was like back in the 70s, okay. About 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago.
We'll see how you can recollect it.
You can, again, they're good at hiding things, okay? You see how the enemies of Islam, they always bring up the talk about pedophilia, okay, and Islam, okay? Well, we don't have to go any further than that, right? They always talk about that, all right? So you never hear the Jews argue like that.
Hmm.
You never hear the Jews say anything about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam like that. Okay, why? Because they're allowed to have sex with a 3-year-old.
This is
shocking. How come no one jumps on them?
Yes.
Okay. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is accused of something very bad about a woman that he married.
Hmm.
Okay? They're allowed to have do zina with a 3-year-old.
Exactly.
And it's jais.
Hmm.
Okay? So that's why when the Christians talk about pedophilia, the Jews are always quiet.
Hmm.
So that's the thing with this rabbi. He said some things that have been kept in-house, inside the Jewish house, that didn't get out.
And now it's all right.
So now people are condemning him and this and that. But it's in their heart. Mm. It's in their heart.
Mm.
All right? It's in their DNA.
100%. Anyway, Mufti, we appreciate your time and your contribution to this year. We had a lot of things to speak about. But we will speak tomorrow, inshallah. Make dua. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.